Blog Talk Radio.
Down the music, couldn't get it to go down any lower. I apologize for that. We always have trouble with the music. We got to do something about that. This is Larry Jacobs, and welcome to Education Talk Radio today. It is July 27th. Wow, summer's half over. The last Friday in July, for goodness sakes. But we're going to make it a good one. I'm going to bring our guest on in just a few minutes. That's Michael Casterly, and I'm so happy Michael is on the show today. I'll bring him on just a few minutes. He's the executive director at the Council of the Great City Schools, a true expert in urban education. I'll explain all that as we get further. And I also am very pleased we have a new sponsor today, perfect company for the large urban districts, and any large district out there is Workday. Workday is a leader in enterprise-class software as a service, SaaS solutions, for managing global businesses, large businesses, combining a lower cost of ownership with an innovative approach to business applications. They were founded by PeopleSoft veterans Dave Duffield and Anil Boozrai. Workday delivers unified human capital management, payroll, and financial management solutions. Again, human capital management, payroll, and financial management solutions designed for today's large organizations and the way people work. Delivered in the cloud, leveraging a modern technology platform, Workday offers a fresh alternative to legacy ERP. More than 310 customers spanning medium-sized organizations to Fortune 50 businesses have selected Workday. And when you go over to workday.com, just like it sounds, www.workday.com, you'll find out why they did select them. It's a good company. We thank them for sponsoring today's show, and we're especially pleased to have with us, as soon as I click through on the line, which is running slowly, of course, Mike. There we go. Mike, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hello, Michael. Welcome to Education Talk Radio. I'm Larry Jacobs.
Thank you very much, Larry. Glad to be with you.
Well, it is a pleasure to have you. I mean it. To me, it's always exciting to have new to us organization on, especially one that is so very important. I am a graduate of Philadelphia Public Schools.
Oh, terrific.
Okay. Yeah, and I got Lamberton Elementary, which is now a K-12, I believe, Bieber Junior High School, and Overbrook High School, for goodness sakes, in Philadelphia.
Oh, Overbrook, how about that? That's terrific.
Proud place of graduation of Wilt Chamberlain,
Wally Jones. It is indeed. Yeah. Walt Hazard go there as well?
Walt, I believe he did. I believe, wow, how do you know? Are you from Philly?
No, not originally, but I graduated from Villanova University right outside of Philadelphia.
I'm going to tell you something very funny before we get on with the show. Villanova's right by Wayne, Pennsylvania?
Correct.
And in Wayne, Pennsylvania was the Anthony Wayne Movie Theater, which I believe is still there.
I don't know if it's still there or not. I haven't been in Wayne in some time.
Well, there you go. My dad was the manager.
Oh, is that right?
Isn't that funny?
That's great.
And I went to Westchester. That was always the big game of the year, Westchester versus Villanova.
It was a big football game every year.
Yep, and I remember you guys were bigger than us and usually won, but my senior year we took you.
I need to remember that every so often Westchester got the better of us.
Occasionally it did. V for Villanova. It's a great school, isn't it?
It is.
Mike, thanks so much. That's great to reminisce. It really is. It really is fun to do that. Where are you from originally? Obviously not Philly. Where are you from?
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma to Philly to Washington, D.C.
Yes, indeed. And in Oklahoma, football was really quite serious.
I didn't know that. Football's big in Oklahoma? I had no idea.
Well, there you have it.
I'm only kidding you. I know that. The Cowboys and the Sooners, right?
Yes, we typically in Oklahoma don't often refer quite so kindly to the Longhorns, but it's a great rivalry.
It is indeed. Mike Casserly, our guest, our wonderful guest today, I'm already loving the show, is executive director at what is called the Council of the Great City Schools, one of my favorite names of any organization in education. And he's probably got the most interesting and hardest job in education association management. It's a nonprofit coalition of the nation's largest urban public school systems, and his organization is located in Washington, D.C. You can learn everything you want, and there's some wonderful stuff to learn over at their website, which is cgcs.org, cgcs.org, and again, it's the Council of Great City, of the Great City Schools. What size city qualifies as a great city school, Mike?
Well, it's a school district that serves a major city of at least 250,000 people with student enrollment of at least 35,000 students. There's only so many of those across the country. We were founded in 1956 by Sergeant Shriver when he was
really
the president of the Chicago Board of Education, long before he came to Washington with his brother-in-law, John F. Kennedy, to form the Peace Corps. So we have a long and very interesting history.
And what would you say, and how long have you been with them, if I may?
I've been with the organization since 1977, so it's been 35
wow.
years now.
So it's not a permanent position, I guess. Huh?
No, it's not. I serve at the pleasure of my board, and they always keep me hopping.
And how long have you been executive director, since 77?
No, I've been executive director since 1992, so 20 years
well,
20 ago.
Years, congratulations. That's wonderful. And as I said before, it's got to be one of the more interesting and intriguing and compelling, but also one of the harder association executive director jobs to run. You're a nonprofit coalition of these huge school districts, and many of them, I know they're wonderful, but many of them are facing really serious challenges these days. Have you seen the potential going up or staying the same or heading downward? What do you see out there?
Well, I'm actually pleased that there's been a lot of progress in urban public education over the years. That's not true of every single one of the cities, but in general, urban education has made a lot of headway, particularly academically, over the last 10 to 15 years. So there has been a considerable amount of headway, but as you indicated, there is a lot of challenges and mm-hmm. a lot of needs in urban public education, and one of our jobs is to address those challenges and needs and to lead these school systems forward, particularly as they try to improve the academic instruction of their students.
What is the... I think I know the answer. I think it's sort of a leading question, but the large urban school districts, what's their biggest challenge out there?
Well, I think they have...
And there are so many, I know, but please.
There's probably three that stand out to me as being the most prominent, and they're the ones that really form the priorities of our organization. The first one includes improving the academic achievement, academic mm-hmm. attainment of urban school students, and closing the various achievement gaps that we sometimes see in that attainment. Mm-hmm. The second main challenge is just governing, leading, managing our organizations just because of the sheer size and complexity
right.
Of them. And then the third is gaining the public's confidence in the work that public education does in the cities, particularly around student achievement and our management and operations. Our three biggest priorities, and they're priorities and challenges that our organization is largely organized around trying to address.
And how is the council set up? Is it a I know it's a consortium, a coalition, so to speak. Do the superintendents, are they the members, or who are the actual members of the Council of Great City Schools?
Well, perhaps the actual members are the school districts themselves, and there are 67 large city school districts that make up this coalition, but on our board of directors sit the superintendent and one school board member designated by the district. They sit at our board table as equals. Mm-hmm. So it's, I think, one of the only organizations out there that crosses administrative and governance lines to work jointly on the challenges that urban public education faces.
And you know, it's interesting because they when you get down to it, I always say it's like Republicans and Democrats today. If you turned off cable TV, we're basically the same exact groups, okay? And it's the same thing. You know, everybody had, be you a member of the school board or an administrator, you really have the same goal. That's to educate the kids. And that's a wonderful opportunity to get that cross-communication going by having this.
Yeah,
we
think so. I think a lot of people look at our governance structure and wonder how it is this works. But the truth of the matter is, as you indicated, their priorities together should be it's not always evident in any individual city, but when they come together under our aegis, their priority is to work jointly for the improvement of public education in these cities.
I think it's just great that the organization is there, the Council of the Great City Schools. Again, TGCS, Mike Cassidy, our guest, is the executive director of this wonderful organization. There's been improvement, I would bet you, in urban public education. I think you just had some recently released report come out. Am I correct, new research?
Yes, we did just recently put out a report called Pieces of the Puzzle, and its subtitle is subtitle of Factors in the Improvement of Urban School Districts on the National Assessment of Educational Progress. But the main title is Pieces of the Puzzle, where we took a look at whether or not there had actually been improvements in urban public education over the last several years on the federal assessment that many urban school districts take along with their respective states.
And what was the results?
Well, the results were really quite interesting, and they are numerous. One, we found that indeed urban school districts across the country were making significant progress in reading and math, both at the elementary level and at the middle school level, and that those gains were significantly greater in all grades and subjects than the progress of the nation as a whole. So it basically told us that the major city school districts in this country were closing the gap on the nation. As a matter of fact, it looked to us like about a third of the difference between us and the nation had been narrowed in the last 8 years. We continue to be behind other public school systems nationwide, but it's clear that we are catching up. In addition, we wanted to know whether or not there were cities that seemed to be making larger gains than other cities were. And it was clear to us that districts like Boston and Atlanta in particular were making really outsized gains relative to other major city school districts across the country. Boston in mathematics in particular, and Atlanta in reading. We also
I have to ask you the question, and this is certainly no secret. There was that cheating scandal in Atlanta.
Yes,
you remember, and I can't remember the. I believe it was a female superintendent, and she got fired or she quit or whatever it was. How does that impact the findings?
The superintendent was Beverly Hall, and she actually retired about this time last year. It's an excellent question. There was evidence of cheating, I guess, by about 170 or so people out of about 4,000 employees in the school district. But the data that we looked at was from the National Assessment of Educational Progress, and the people who run that assessment, which is the National Center for Education Statistics, it's the statistics branch of the U.S. Department of Education,
mm-hmm.
Did an analysis and investigation of whether or not the national assessment scores in Atlanta could have been tampered with in any way, and came to the conclusion that the gains that Atlanta had posted in reading and mathematics were indeed real, and
right.
it must have
That's
reflected
good.
Reforms that the school district had been pursuing. So it appeared that there was cheating by some individuals on the state test, but there was a broader set of reforms that produced real results on the national assessment.
And, you know, that's interesting because Superintendent Hall, the ex-superintendent, got a lot of bad press after the news came out that Atlanta had cheated. You remember that, certainly. Has that – and, of course, the news rarely follows up on things when news changes, because that's not – good news isn't as interesting as bad news. Whatever happened – I assume it's Dr. Hall. Did Dr. Hall, what's the word I'm looking for? Did the news finally come out that, in fact, it was better news than everybody thought, that cheating didn't matter?
Well, it's been interesting over the last year or so that the state investigative report came out. I think that investigation continues, but the news on the actual improvements in the school district
mm-hmm.
Was often pretty hard to find amongst all of the other news yeah. about the cheating. So the truth of the matter is that there appears to have been some cheating by some individuals in the school district, and at the same time there was real reform going on. And
well, that's good.
It's kind of hard for people to hold those two things in their heads at the same time, but the reforms were real, and again, it produced real and significant academic attainment gains.
Well, even though I don't like the Braves, good for Atlanta.
Good for Atlanta, and the people who ultimately were culpable for any cheating obviously need to be held accountable
exactly.
for that.
But all that fell on her shoulders, and it's good to know that in fact the things the reforms under her administration were in fact working to some degrees. At least that's what your research shows.
Yes.
That's really good. So,
we found lots of other kind of interesting things. We looked into which districts seem to be making the greatest headway with African-American students, with Hispanic students, with poor students, with students who were English language learners. We looked at what areas of reading and mathematics our students seem to be doing better on or making better progress on than other areas. And we also took a look at why some of these districts showed larger gains than others, and what it was about their instructional practices that really
yeah.
helped them make the academic improvements that they did, and how were those different from school districts that did not make as many gains.
Well, continue. Go ahead. What was that?
Well, the main areas that distinguished the districts that made the larger gains from the districts that made the smaller gains really fell into about six broad categories. One, it involved the overall leadership and vision of the school district and how long the district was able to sustain its overall reforms and leadership structure. It was important how well they set their overall goals, how it is they held people accountable for attainment of the academic goals that they had set. It was important how rigorous and how high quality the curriculum and instructional program was, and how that improved over time. So what was actually going on inside of the classrooms and what the school district was doing to improve the quality and rigor of classroom instruction really made a huge difference in whether or not these districts made progress on the national assessment. The quality and cohesion of the professional development and training efforts and the district's use of their assessments and data to inform their instructional program really matter. And in general, what was really clear to us was how all of those factors hung together, how it is they were connected. There was no one thing, no silver bullet that was really responsible for the gains in any one of these districts. It was a set of broader kind of strategic moves that the district had made in tandem with a series of more tactical and programmatic moves that the district made, all in service of higher academic achievement, sustained over a fairly long period of time, that was really at the core of why these districts made the headway that they did. And it really separated their progress and their practices from the practices of school districts that really did not make as much progress. Because the districts that did not make as much progress, you all often found those districts with weaker or ill-defined or non-existent accountability systems, almost no curriculum in place, or very weak or low quality, low rigor curriculum and instructional efforts, incoherent, very fractured professional development and training that was often not linked to any instructional vision, very poor implementation of programs, and either no data or poor use of data to inform the instructional program. And you could really tell the difference between these sets of districts, that is, the districts with large gains and the districts with small gains, on those factors and how detailed and how much quality there was in each one of those.
Michael Casserly is the executive director at the Council of the Great City Schools, the wonderful nonprofit coalition of the nation's largest urban public school systems. Mike, all those things you just said about the lower performing districts, I have to ask the simple one-word question, why? Why is that happening? They can see what their brethren are doing, okay, in other large urban districts. And why are things falling apart in some of the districts? They have the same potential, I would assume.
They have the same potential. In some cases, districts don't pay as much attention to the factors that produce gains in other districts. Sometimes the politics of urban education or the cities in general just get in the way of this. Sometimes school districts or politicians come to the conclusion that if they keep turning over their leadership, that they'll eventually strike on a set of people who are likely to produce better results, but it's the constant churning of people at the leadership level, at the principal level, and at the teacher level that often undercut a district's ability to make the kinds of gains that it really wants. There are a number of reasons why some of the school districts, even when the evidence is out there about what it would take to improve, don't.
It's so sad. How's my old school district, Philly, doing?
Well, they've been having a lot of difficulty lately, particularly with huge budget cuts. They're obviously going through some changes in their leadership ranks. They did hire a brand new superintendent out of Prince George's County, Maryland, Bill Height, who is really terrific. He's got a very strong background, both instructionally and operationally. So I'm very optimistic about their forward movement over the next few years.
That's good, and I hope that happens. I think Mayor Nutter, I live up here. I live in Maine now. We just moved up from Boston area, but I think I've been reading about Mayor Nutter down there in Philly, and I think he's doing a pretty good job from what I'm reading. People seem to like him.
People do like him, and I think he played a role in the selection of the new superintendent, and I have every expectation that Bill Hite and Mayor Nutter will be working closely together to improve a school district that, frankly, needs some improvement.
It does, and it's a great city. I love that city. It's my hometown, and I spent a lot of time there. And being a graduate, I just have a special place for the old Brook. And by the way, I have to mention just while I'm saying Overbrook, and we forgot to mention their most famous graduate these days is the actor Will Smith from Overbrook.
Oh, is that right? I didn't realize.
Walt Hazard, Wally Jones, Wilt Chamberlain. Actually, they're all W's. I just realized that, and Will Smith.
Well, that's a school district that has graduated a lot of very famous people. I know Bill Cosby may not have graduated from the school district, but he attended school there for some time.
He's a Philly guy, and I share my birthday with him.
Is
he's
that
10
right?
Years older than me. July 12th. He's 10 years older than I am.
Yeah, the great opera singer Marian Anderson came out of that school district.
Mario Lanza. I didn't know about Marian Anderson. That's interesting.
Yeah, Marian Anderson came out of there. I forget exactly when. It was probably the 1930s. But
it's a great city.
Yeah, a lot of very famous people came out of there.
You know, the urban districts in general, are they getting the best teachers? Well, I'm just going to let you answer that. What's going on with getting the best teachers, the science, the math, et cetera? Are the young people who are graduating from a college with teacher's degrees, are they going into the urban districts? What's going on regarding that?
Actually, one of the things that I find the very, very encouraging is just the amount of talent that is pouring into these city school districts. I think there was a point some years ago when it was very difficult to recruit people into these settings because they can sometimes be difficult to work in. But there's an enormous amount of young talent that is coming into the districts, and I'm really very, very optimistic because of that. So I'd say, by and large, we're getting enormously talented teachers. There are instances, of course, where our own operations are such that we sometimes throw hurdles up to teachers who are really good, who want to work in our systems, but sometimes our HR processes are not very good, and it discourages people, or it takes so long to get them an answer that they end up deciding to go teach someplace else. But having said that, I'm very encouraged by the caliber of individuals that want to work in urban education. I think it's very promising. And one other reason I have to say that I remain optimistic over all of these years is that not only are we making progress, and we can demonstrate that, but that we are figuring out why, which is one of the reasons why this Pieces of the Puzzle report proved to be so important to us. And if we can figure out why we're making progress, then we can figure out how to make more. That continues to be a source of enormous optimism for me.
Well, and it should be, and your Council of the Great City Schools is there to create that conversation amongst the administrators and governing bodies of the school districts, okay, to make all that happen. You know, it's unbelievable. Do you know Quentin Lewis, I think it's Lewis's last name, from the National Association of Black School Educators?
Quentin Lawson?
Lawson, thank you. I said Lewis.
Yes, I do know him.
He's a nice guy. He comes on our show every so often. I'm curious, okay? And I hate to say that urban means city, okay? But a lot of times when people are saying that, they mean it's a district made up of a large district made up of a lot of non-white people, okay? And I'm curious. Quentin has told me that many that a very, it's a very low percentage of ethnic teachers, so to speak, within the urban schools. Do you see a difference? In there? Are more and more people of an ethnic background, be they Latino or whatever, or African American, are they getting involved in the education within the urban schools?
More and more. Our total enrollment across all of the urban school districts in the nation is about 80% African American, Hispanic, Asian American, and other groups. About a third of our teachers are African American, Hispanic, and other racial and ethnic groups. So while we have a large, a fairly large portion of our teachers that are African American and Hispanic, it does not correspond to the racial composition of our student body. Actually, we could almost absorb every African American and Hispanic teacher in the country and barely come up to a parity with our student body. So it's an issue not only in urban education, but it's an issue in public education across the board that we in public schools need to recruit a more diverse teaching force.
And actually, I remember this. I graduated in '65. Okay?
Oh, is that right?
By the way, yeah, I graduated in 1965. Okay, from Overbrook High School, and we had I can't remember the number, but I had a lot of teachers who we didn't have any Asian teachers, none, but we had African American teachers. They were terrific, Mr. Pierce at Bieber, Mr. Kendricks at Overbrook. I remember them all very well.
We've got great teachers across the board in lots of our urban school districts. Obviously, we are also having a conversation about issues of teacher evaluation and teacher effectiveness.
Mm, yeah.
And all of that, and that's front and center in many of our school districts, as it is in other school districts across the country. But I suspect that the big city school districts are probably experimenting with differing teacher evaluation systems to an extent that's likely greater than you see in other places.
It's such a mix within the urban school districts. It's so incredible. The potential is so unbelievable. Let me ask you this year's catchphrase. What's going on with Common Core in the big districts?
Actually, I'm very pleased to report that the big city school districts, the great city schools, are in many ways much further ahead in the implementation of the Common Core than most other school districts are nationally. Our organization was really a very strong and leading advocate. As a matter of fact, I think we were the first one of the national education membership organizations to come out in favor of what was then called the national standards. And we were very active in working with the writers of the Common Core as the Common Core were being developed. So as our support for the Common Core came from the individual cities, and as the Common Core came online, they were finished up and became available, the cities were really quite eager to start putting those into place. So I think in many instances, you'll see quite a few cities putting in the Common Core in English Language Arts and Mathematics in this upcoming school year. They've been piloting the Common Core in selected grades, selected subjects, selected schools over the last year or so, but you're going to see a much broader set of implementation of the Common Core in this upcoming school year.
I have to ask, what's the smallest city in your group? I assume New York's the biggest, and what's the smallest?
New York's the biggest, of course, followed by Los Angeles and in Chicago. I don't know exactly who the smallest might be, but it might be Des Moines or Providence, Rhode Island, or maybe Dayton, Ohio. I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, I'm just curious where that range was so people could hear that range over there.
It's a fairly large range, but there is a lot in common, even between New York City and Des Moines,
absolutely
the largest city in Iowa, and it often has many of the of that state's leading challenges.
Yeah, absolutely, and just to make that point a little further, you were saying, you know, Hispanic students, Latino students, I prefer that word, are literally everywhere all over the country. These districts are growing like crazy as Latino people move all over the country, et cetera. And it's creating great challenges and also offering great potential to these districts. I hope they understand that. Michael, you're going to come back on our show, but just before you leave today, I just want you to give a little plug for your upcoming October conference.
Well, we have our national meeting. I actually think it's probably the best education conference by any organization, any place in the country. But on October 17th to the 20th, we will be in Indianapolis for our annual meeting. And speaking at that event will be Mark Morial from the National Urban League, mm-hmm. America Ferrera, the actress, and Tom Friedman, the author from the New York Times.
And it's going to be a wonderful convention. And also, you have a large exhibit hall there, if I'm not mistaken, don't you?
We don't actually do exhibits, but we have all the superintendents and school board members and senior staff and lots of other people from around the country who work in urban education. And it's the nation's foremost gathering of urban educators each year.
Wonderful. It's going to be terrific. Is that your big? Is that your big annual conference?
Yes, it's about 1,000.
Oh, that's wonderful! Congratulations, that's great. Will you come back on our show at some point?
Perhaps
after your conference, Mike. This was a wonderful conversation. I knew it was going to be. You lived up to my expectations beyond words.
Well, I hope I didn't disappoint.
No, you didn't at all. It was a wonderful conversation. I thank you so much.
Talk to you soon.
You will indeed. Thank you, Michael Casserly.
Thank you.
Michael Casserly is the executive director for a long time now, 20 years. Congratulations, Michael, at the Council of the Great City Schools, a Villanova graduate near where I grew up. The Council of the Great City Schools is a nonprofit coalition of the nation's largest urban public school systems. Need I say more? CGCS.org. CGCS.org. Just a great organization. He was talking about a little bit about HR and that sort of stuff in there, how sometimes, you know, it's hard to manage the school districts, which is a nice segue to our sponsor today, which is Workday. Workday is a leader in enterprise class SaaS, that's software as a science, solutions for managing global businesses, combining a lower cost of ownership with an innovative approach to business applications. Workday was founded by PeopleSoft veterans Dave Duffield and Anil Bhusrai, and they deliver unified human capital management, payroll, and financial management solutions designed for today's organizations and the way people work. Okay? Delivered in the cloud, leveraging a modern technology platform, Workday offers a fresh alternative to legacy ERP. More than 310 customers spanning medium-sized organizations to Fortune 50 businesses have selected Workday. It would be obviously great for the urban school districts. Please go over and visit them, www.workday.com, www.workday.com. You can learn a lot more. Thank you, Workday, and thank you, Michael Casserly. We're going to have you on there. Go over, please, to their website. This is an important organization, the Council of Great City Schools, of the Great City Schools, excuse me, cgcs.org. We're going to have this show archived over at education-talkradio.org in just a couple of minutes. It's Friday. It's July 27th. Everybody out there, have a great weekend. Summer's half done, so don't let the rest of it pass without having a great time. I'm Larry Jacobs, and thanks for listening to Education Talk Radio.